time again. Time to down the tools and grab a fistful of golden glory on the Mardi Gras of medals. With those two champions of the podium, rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. HG.
Yes, thanks very much, Jumpin' Jai, the sound guy in the soundproof booth. Welcome to Rio. Welcome to the games of the 31st Olympiad. Welcome to the Herb Elliott Stadium. Sadly, not a lot of people here today. Excellent competition in the main arena, but maybe less than 15% capacity to see it. It's Volunteers Day here in Rio. All volunteers are let in free. If you've got your Sydney Volunteers uniform, put it on, waddle down, and be part of the atmosphere. And what an atmosphere it's been. My colleague here in the Herb, Rampaging Roy Slaven, has sampled some of it. What have you got for us today, bro?
Yes, thanks very much, H.G. Nelson. Another marvellous night. We've had a couple of interesting things just looking at the Olympics through the prism of the world. The Chinese media is calling its team the worst since 1984. Now, you've got to remember that that's when China was allowed back into Olympic competition. Now, it's citing its failures in badminton, true, diving, true, and gymnastics, amongst other things. And I'd have to suggest that that media outlet that's been calling this team the worst will be facing the firing squad very shortly. Aussie Brooke Stratton was the first woman in 12 years to make the long jump final, and full marks to her, HG. She just, as we heard on the news a moment ago, she's just missed out on dung, coming in at seventh. Now, players are starting to complain, HG, about selfies. They're being asked to have selfies taken all the time. Mm-hmm. I find this very hard to believe. I was sitting around the edge of the chill-out zone with you last night, and players were only too happy, or any of the athletes were only too happy to have selfies with whoever happened to pass by. I know Dick Pound passed by, wanted a few selfies. No one complained. It was all good. So I don't put much store in that report. Now, Rio Olympic volunteers, and it is Volunteers Day, as HG has pointed out, they're quitting due to the long hours and lack of food. 30% of volunteers have failed to show up. Now, there's an inquiry in process. I don't think it's going to get anywhere. And John Bertrand, HG, is suggesting to change the name of the Australian team to Team Australia.
You're joking.
No.
This is from the top, from Bertrand.
This is from Bertrand.
Did you get that in an email? I missed that email.
I didn't get it from an email. I got it hanging around the edge, chill-out zone.
I tell you what I got hanging.
Blew in with the idea.
And bellowed.
Yeah.
We're changing the name. Team Australia.
Yeah.
Just before we go on, two of the biggest cheers here in the Herb were for, obviously, Justin Gatlin not making the final of the 200 metres. I've never heard a cheer like it.
No.
There's a lot of anti-Gatlin feeling around.
Yeah.
And the beast, Johan Blake, dipped out in the 200 final as well.
Wow.
There's a changing of the guard here, Roy, in the Herb.
Yeah.
And speaking of the chill-out zone, you saw me duck away. Mm-hmm. I got pinned crazy last night.
I know you did.
And guess what I picked up? You'll never believe this. I got Nerik Musambani.
No way.
I did. I haven't seen one in the best part of 15 years.
Wow.
Nerik Musambani, of course, electrified.
What did you have to swap for it?
I swapped a lot. I swapped all my Channel 7 pins for it.
Wow, they took that, did they?
They did.
Idiots.
I couldn't believe it. The other thing I got, and I didn't realise this, but you know how pins sometimes come in little cases and open them up. Eric was a party. I looked underneath and there was a Chumpy Pullen in there as well.
No way, no way. Chumpy Pullen.
Chumpy Pullen.
Wow, I'd forgotten. So Chumpy, you could carve him.
Higher, faster, longer. That's the secret of golden success on the Mardi Gras of medals. Roy and HG.
And Roy, some updates from today's competition. There was a magnificent 100 metres hurdles result.
Look, just a few results, HG. Of course, Bolt's into the 200 final. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, Gatlin missed the cut to the cheers of everyone. The Boomers, they really brought it home last night. I got up to watch. It was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Mel did a terrific job introducing it, and then, you know, we could watch it together. Edwina tops Alexander, HG. She's into the individual medal calculation now. The team has let her down, though. The team was just terrible, really. Our show jumping team, I don't know what...
You don't want to mention them.
No, there'll have to be an inquiry, but Edwina tops Alexander is really doing us proud. Mm-hmm. What a proud Aussie at Winter.
When was she last in Australia, Roy? About 15 years ago?
I don't know. She's been since about 1978. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last time she was officially here. But she still remembers Australia fondly and would like all people who remember her in Australia, back in Australia, to know that she often thinks of them. She told me that last night as I was just sitting around the edge, yeah. Mm. Now, interesting, H.G., to note here that the record of, we've discussed this before, the great record of Leonidas of Rhodes, that great runner who was running
BC
about 2,180 years ago, who set the world on fire with his 200, 400 marathon wins over four Olympics, holding twelve individual gold medals. No one thought that record would ever be broken. Well, of course, Phelps has broken that with his 13th. So that record of 2,168 years has finally been broken. I never thought we'd see it in our lifetime, but we have. And very few people are talking about it. And just finally, HG, Thompson of Jamaica wins the 200 metres final. And Schippers of Netherlands dived just a little bit too late.
Yes, missed the timing for the goal.
The
goal.
She was well over the line
before she hit the teeter board, so to speak. Look, this sadly, there's sad news and there's good news. The good news first is that Cedric Dubler, our decathlete, is on day one of competition. He's lying 12th with 4,219 points. That's a tremendous result for Cedric Dubler fans. Yep. And I know many listen to this show. Yep. And in the overall medal tally, well, we're still not up to London yet. We've got 7 gold, 8 silver and 9 bronze. So obviously millions of wood, tin and dung, or tin, wood and dung. Yep. Our total in the hardware department is 24, so there's a little way to go yet.
And we're being beaten by Japan now, is that right?
Correct. Japan, they've got 10 gold, France have 8, Italy 8, Netherlands 8, they're all in our near part, and South Korea is nipping at our heels in 11th place with 7, not to mention Hungary. Now, the boxing, Roy, you and I had a bit of a probe, and we got to the bottom of some of it.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is coaches at the boxing venue Wednesday said the scoring system left a lot of room for interpretation, and the judges, although well-trained, were not infallible. They also expressed relief that the issue of inadequate judging was being addressed, although they dismissed the accusations of corruption at the boxing tournament, as they would, as they would. Yeah. I mean, if they said, well, it's corrupt, good night, nurse, so to speak.
It's all over.
Mm. The amateur status of these judges, Roy, I mean, it's all very well to, you know, put out an email to boxing clubs in the Rio area saying if anybody'd like a free ticket and a ringside seat, could they come on down, pass a test, and then they would be ticketed as judges. Is that good enough at this level?
I don't think it is good enough, and I think it goes back to education, HG.
Schools.
There's very little boxing education done in schools. Mm-hmm. I found this unbelievable, but it's true. And it's not only in Brazil where education is scant in this regard. It's all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world. I think it's only Russia that takes their boxing
judging seriously. At the early grades of education.
And you realise that there's a relationship between the ruble and reward, if you know what I mean.
And score.
And score, yeah.
Can I ask, how difficult is it? Surely if I punch you in the head, that's one to me. If you punch me in the head, that's one.
Yeah, but it's opening to interpretation. See, you can punch me in the head and I can grin. Now, that's going to give me the point. But if you punch me in the head and I end up on the floor being carried away, you'll get the point. You see what I mean? It's open to interpretation. You know, there are punches to the head and punches to the head, as we well know.
Now, I'll give you an idea of how corrupt it is.
Yeah.
The Federation chooses a pool of 36 judges and referees at the Rio Games. All judges also work as referees and vice versa. There's a big problem there. Mm. I think a specialised job refereeing, specialised job judging, you can't do both.
No.
If you're coming in, you think, well,
it's a conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest, indeed. Mm. You know, firstly, you'd think, well, I'm scoring this. Well, hang on a minute, I'm refereeing it. The AIBA, the International Boxing Association, picks 5 judges to work each bout and prohibits judges from a fighter's country or from a country in conflict with a fighter's country from working the bout. Now,
well, hang on. Russia's in conflict with everyone. How could they ever get a judge in? And yet they do.
After each fight, a computer program randomly determines which of the 3 of the 5 judges' scorecards will be counted. So they've got 5 judges, only 3 of which are counted.
Yeah.
The other 2 scorecards are thrown out. Still, questions about judging a result as the sport itself and will continue. Oh, I hope not. That's a very sad comment from Ken Belson in his report for the New York Times.
Yeah.
What do you make of those ideas, Roy? You know, 5-3 is getting too complicated. Yeah. The refereeing vis-a-vis judging, you know.
Yes.
The, I mean.
Hey, so could I suggest that we really only need one judge for each boxing bout, and that judge have two qualities. A, be an Australian, and secondly, be a justice of the peace.
Roy and HG, thanks to Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
Roy, look, there's a couple of baffling cases I think we're going to have to deal with in some detail here now on the Mardi Gras medals here in the Herb Elliott Stadium now that things are calming down a little bit in the evening. And look, I don't like doing this because, you know, as you know, the Olympic spirit, it's not only a flickering flame here, it's a blowtorch of pride. It's a blowtorch of international, you know, community coming together in a sporting event in the original.
It's a blowtorch of honesty.
Blowtorch of hope and honesty.
Hope and honesty, I agree.
And two disturbing issues, and I know because of your contacts with the police here and the tattooing world, you've been seconded onto the local constabulary around the village, the Edge, chill out zone, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And the first case concerns the arrest of IOC Executive Board and Irish member of the, I think he's the president of the Judo Irish Federation, Patrick Hickey, who's been now investigated for ticket touting at the Olympics. Evidence linking Hickey, who leads the European Olympic Committee that includes all national committees on the continent, to an international scheme to illegally pass on Olympic tickets to touts who are reselling them at above their original ticket face value price, a common activity around this.
Yeah.
The Brazilian media set .. went into it. His arrest comes after the police detained last week a director of International Sports Hospitality Group, known as THG Sports, and so on and on. It goes, it has ramifications. Mm. And one of the baffling thing about this is we come to work every day in the Herb.
Mm.
We wander in. We have no trouble getting in through the queues because no one's in the queues. Admittedly, we come in pretty early, often before the joints open to do the work back to Australia.
Yep.
The crowd, I always think, oh, the crowd must be right behind us. I look around. There's no one between here and the hotel. No queue.
Mm.
When we get in here, there's very few people here. Bruce and, you know, Tamsin and obviously Steve, you know, make up most of the crowd.
Patty
That's
Walsh,
five.
Paddy Walsh.
Mm. Now, this is a baffling case. Why would somebody be ticket touting and marking up the tickets way above their face value? What do you know about
it? It makes no sense, doesn't it? That's what I said to the police last night. I said, look, it makes no sense. Look. This always comes down to, because I said to the police, I said, do you understand the basic laws of capitalism? And they said, huh? I said, look, you've got supply and demand.
Yeah.
It comes down to that. You know, if you've got a great demand and very little supply, tickets worth something. If you've got, you know, no demand, enormous supply, tickets worth nothing. At the moment, tickets worth nothing. Savvy? They got through. It got through. They dropped the charges, and Hickey was allowed to go away. I mean, Hickey done nothing wrong. If I can tell, he was trying to give the tickets away for nothing.
That was his defence.
Yeah.
He was trying to encourage an audience to come on into it.
Yes.
I mean, sure, the manner he went about it was pretty bold and out front. You know, I mean, it was just sort of like in your face, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure, people were asked to, you know, make a donation.
Make a donation to his foundation.
Yeah.
Now, his foundation, as nearly as I can tell, it hasn't really been formally set up yet, but he told me that he fully intended, that was his words, not mine, fully intend setting up the foundation.
And he had modelled the foundation, I understand, on the Shane Warne Foundation.
Yes, and the Ricky Ponting Foundation and the Luke Pritis Foundation and a number of wonderful foundations that are doing, that cherish the children, the Pat Rafter Foundation. I mean, I love these foundations. They just do so much good.
Now, where does this case stand? Because, you know, today, Volunteers Day here in the main stadium, we've got people sort of out the front wanting to unload their tickets because they're wearing the uniform and they can come in for free.
Yes.
Do you see that anything wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know he's doing it because he's got 100. Well, as I understand it, he had 24,000 tickets to sell for the whole week, which
was,
I just wondered how he got them. But that's
I don't know.
No,
he said he was given them. Well, that's fine. Yeah, he was given them in support of his foundation. Well, that's fine. Now, as nearly I can tell, a number of the volunteers who overheard his conversation and the evidence he gave to the police just outside the Edge here, or back at the hotel, is that they got the idea themselves. Now, the Brazilians, volunteers, are setting up their own foundations. which is great. I mean, the more the better.
Yeah, model on the show.
Modelled on, you know, the Patrick Hickey Foundation, you know, for, I don't know, it might be for...
disadvantaged kids.
Acne amongst disadvantaged kids.
Now, the other big case, and this is even more baffling, is police are now on the hunt for US swimmers Lochte and Fagan. These were the two who, well, the judge, Kayla Blank, in the Brazil Special Tribunal for Fans and Major Events, the very precise details there, has issued a, they can't leave the country order until they've actually clarified what happened.
Yes.
After checks at Rio's International Airport, police sources said they believed Lochte had already left Brazil, obviously won a gold medal in the swimming competition that ended last Saturday. Mm. A US media lawyer for Lochte, one of swimming's most successful Olympians, said his client had already returned to the United States. It was not immediately possible to confirm this. And I thought, hang on a minute. Mm. We live in a world of homeland security is the largest thing on the planet.
I know.
And we can't find out whether swimmers in Brazil or in America. In America.
Mm.
In America.
I know.
If they don't know, and he's very visible. He's got that weird hair.
Yeah.
You know, that, I don't know, what would you call it, steel wool coloured hair.
Yeah.
I mean, he walks off the plane, you know immediately who it is.
Yeah, you can spot him from, you know, 20 kilometres away.
It's now bizarre that they can't find out who
what
he
about
is.
Fagan, is she? Have they tracked him down?
I'm not sure. Fagan, when I last saw, was in police custody and then somehow slipped.
Well, he slipped from police custody.
Well, in the tattooing process.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Now, this is, I don't want to do with all the details.
No.
They were held up, supposedly.
That was their story. I mean, we wondered about that story when we heard it, didn't we? They were held up. They had everything stolen from them. They got to boot up the date and told to get on with it.
The judicial source said the judge in her really pointed out an inconsistency between Lochte, who had said only one man was involved in the robbery, and his teammate Fagan, who testified several men had robbed them.
That's right.
The judge also noted the video footage of the swimmers returning to the athlete's village physically well and joking with one another and in possession of their many belongings, including cell phones and Olympic accreditation.
Yeah.
She also noted, I mean, this judge is no clown.
No.
She also noted the swimmers had left a party at the French Olympic delegation at 4 a.m., but security cameras showed them arriving at the athletes' village around 7 a.m.
Yes.
And wait for it, the journey would normally take about 30 minutes at that hour of the day.
Well, what's going on there? I'll tell you what's going on there, actually. And it's something that I've seen many people do in the past. And that is, it's an insurance business. You know, you've got your travel insurance. You think, oh, well, I wouldn't mind upgrading my phone.
Or my Olympic accreditation.
My Olympic accreditation, my watch. You know, so you say, oh, well, yeah, look, it was stolen. You know, the police say, oh, see? Yeah, stolen, mate. Stolen. My watch, my phone, stolen. Yeah, by a bloke. He said his name was Juan.
Gun. You know,
and
mine's
a gun. He had a gun and a knife and a syringe. And stuff. And he looked, with his beard, he looked...
And no tattoos.
Threatening, yeah. No tattoos.
Couldn't identify him in a lineup. No. Can I go now?
Rampaging Roy Slaven with HG Nilsson riding shotgun. Limber up and get on board the Mardi Gras of medals.
Roy, showboating at these Olympics is out of control. And I can't remember an Olympics where I've been more, you know, I was going to use a word like gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Whereas more livid about athletes showboating.
Yeah.
Now, look, I don't mind offers of marriage. That's sort
no,
of...
No, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's wholesome.
Wholesome, bringing people together. Waving on the run, I don't like when you're coming around. I think Mo Farah put up a wave when he came around the corner in the 5,000 metres today.
He did.
It was just...
It's disrespectful.
Disrespectful of the people here. We don't want to see that. We want to see winners. We want to see people hitting the line hard.
Yeah.
Backflips. After you've lifted a big weight in the weightlifting, I just think they should be red carded, shown the door, and marched straight out of the Olympics and put on a plane and sent home. I don't care where home is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, they might be, you know, sort of wanting to hang around Rio and have fun in the in the village, or they might want to go Copacabana Beach or go up and see Bruce the Redeemer up close.
Yeah.
All of that, I understand that, but I don't think they're allowed. They're not allowed. They've just got to get on the plane and go home.
No. So certainly weightlifting's gone crazy with showboating, isn't it?
It has, and that interpretive dance about climate change it was put on by the Kiribati weightlifter. I mean, where's that?
I didn't get it.
No. I didn't understand it. Sure, with subtitles it might have been great.
Yeah.
Or holding up placards saying, and now I'm describing what it'll be like when our country goes underwater. I understand all of that.
I looked at the crowd there. No, not that there were many there, but the few that were there. And most of them look either bemused, baffled, or angry.
angry. That's my feeling, is angry. They just wanted to, you know, really say to this person, listen, you've come to lift weights. We want to, don't want to see energy put into other things, interpretive dance. If that's what you do in your home country, that's great. Send us a video. We'd love to see it if we've got time. But lift the weight.
Yeah.
We want to see more weightlifting.
Yes. That's what we paid for.
Now, then we come to the Estonian, the trio of Estonian triplets running in the marathon. Now, these are supposedly the first triplets to complete in an Olympic Games.
In the modern pentathlon, yes. True, they were very common back in the day of Leonidas.
Now, the marathon runners, Lily, Lena and Layla Luik, were all 30 and they competed last Sunday, obviously Brazil time. The Trio to Rio, they billed themselves as.
Did they really?
They didn't begin running until yesterday, really.
Dear.
24.
They didn't do anything, did they?
No, they've been active since childhood. We love dancing. We love to be active. And this pushes professional sports. Now, that's the only bit of this story I like.
Mm.
So if you're at home in Australia thinking, well, you know, Tokyo, it's not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think of the Liuk sisters and model yourself on them.
Yes.
Do
you think we'd have a few...
people who are active?
Well, twins and what have you back in Australia who were thinking, well, we haven't got many skills. Why don't we just run? Possible, isn't it?
It is, and this is if you've got a dream.
Yes. Well, that comes with it.
Now, look, can I just say, what would be great,
what
would be great is if you had a dream of representing Australia at the Olympics, you chose a sport that only required training in the ad break, say, in Home and Away, just to take a thing, or in, you know, MasterChef or stuff like that.
Or 800 Words or any of those great shows that are coming up on Seven, like that bloody Zumbo show, which I'm not going to watch. Sorry, HG.
That's right. Now, you get about, sometimes you get up to 3 minutes of training in the backyard, say between one, you know, sort of hat you can eat and the next strawberry confection.
Yeah.
Now, that's the time you put into training, really hard training in there. And if you picked a sport by like the shot put, your parents wouldn't have to, or, you know, or your flatmates wouldn't be up for the expense of building you an $80,000 shooting range or anything like that in the backyard.
That's true.
You wouldn't need it.
That's true.
Now,
or horse riding. I mean, poor old Edwina Topps bloody Alexander had to fork out $7.5 million for a horse.
And she has to then groom it and,
I know,
you know, do off its clipping, pick up the poo, all that sort of stuff. You think it's not, you don't have people to help you with that. It's all you. We saw after 1 year we had good results in Estonia. We thought we could achieve something good outside Estonia and do some big competitions like Eurovision, European Champions, and the Olympics. Now,
fair enough.
Lily was the fastest finishing, wait for it, in 97th place.
Wow.
Time, 2 hours 48.29.
Mm-hmm.
Then Layla, who ran in 2:54.38 to place 114th, and wait for it, Lena, she didn't finish. DNF, my stroke. But you can't take that away from her.
No.
So that...
What stories those kids will have on the plane on the way home, eh?
If only we could have gone better.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we've got the Hana sisters, Anna and Lisa, who ran also in the marathon. They finished, wait for it, a second apart, crossing the line in 81st and 82nd place. And it must have been a timing error because one ran in 2:45.32, the other ran in 2:45.33. They were holding hands as they went over. The event won by Kenyan Sumgun in the time of 2:24.04. Now... This showboating, Roy, it's got to stop.
I know it's got to stop.
I mean, it's become a farce.
Yeah. Who's the shimmy girl? The one
who... Oh, I haven't
shimmy
got to her
bloody
yet.
Girl.
Oh, don't let me start.
I mean, that drives me nuts. The only thing I would say about the sisters, having sisters and brothers competing with each other, what a credit those Bronte sisters have been, because they don't, you know, they don't hold hands if they're in the same lane, you know, or side by side in lanes. They act as if they're individuals.
Yes, that's right. And they zoom up and down as fast as they can by themselves. There's no sense, dead heat in
this. No, no.
You know, a second apart.
No,
something that'd be
none of that.
Now, you're speaking about Michelle Jenke.
Oh, yeah.
Second heat of the 100 metres hurdle. Well, look, what was sad about that is that the performance, this is a bit unfair by Mike Coleman here, the performance in the mixed media zone after the race was a lot more impressive than what she showed on the track. And again, to be fair, technical issues. The program was running late, which meant the crowd couldn't see her jiggling before the big, the jump off on the big screen. You know, it was a bit rushed, the jiggling. She was confined to a series of short jiggles, a couple of track jumps, and an obligatory hair swooshing head wobble, all appreciated by the very small crowd on hand. But they knew what they were looking at. They've seen her jiggle before.
They have. I mean, I wouldn't mind her jiggling if she could bloody win something. But when you just jiggle and come, you know, you dream of bloody dung.
Well, her time was 13:26 seconds, sixth place.
So she got dung.
Hey, wait a minute.
So the dream fulfilled.
No, wait a minute. Didn't earn her a place in the semi-finals.
Oh.
It did attract a good effort tweet from Sally Pearson.
Oh, yes. What did Sally say? Love the jiggle?
You love the jiggle. Good effort was her comment.
Good effort. Patronising at best.
Well,
I thought her effort was rubbish.
Proud supporters of the New Zealand team in Rio. Get on them for having a go. New Zealand.
Hey, New Zealand.
Now back to Roy and HG's Mardi Gras of medals.
Yes, this is the second last day of the Mardi Gras of medals,
it's
Roy.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I know, it's gone so quickly and we've had so much fun and met so many new people.
I know.
And you know when we came, I didn't think we'd meet a police person at all.
No.
And we'd met maybe 30 or 40 of them.
Yeah, easily.
And the edge has just been great. That chill out zone has just
goes off every night.
It does, it does. Yeah. Now, look, in the merchandising area, the, winning with wood is up today. This is limited edition of 250,000, and it features Kate Campbell or Kate Bronte, Mac Horton, Belinda Hocking, Taylor McKeon, Alicia Coutts, and Jessica Ashwood. So it's a terrific.
Wow.
It's a terrific lineup. Everybody signed it.
Yes.
They've spent a lot of time.
And they've all won wood.
They've all won wood.
Oh, isn't that great?
So that'll be something to go with your,
Wouldn't that look lovely in the games room?
It would. Fantastic. 8 metres by 5 metres, obviously, to fit them all in.
Uh-huh.
And still got that sachet of the pool water.
Yes.
So you can relive every moment of the big stink here.
Oh, isn't that great?
Email-wise, Roy, what's been
Look,
going
I have
on?
One here, HG, from Lily Lawler, who just says, there doesn't appear to be enough mongrel in our team. Mongrel. No. Well, for mongrel, you could put in skill, talent, speed,
winning nous,
vision, dreams. Now, it seems that some are just there for the experience. Well, I don't think that's right. That's a bit cruel. He says, we need a new chief de mission for Tokyo. Well, Kitty Chiller's done a pretty good job, really. He's calling for Tommy Rodonikis, former rugby league
coach
star, and to be called in. Look, I don't know if Tommy's the man. But the idea is right, and it parlays from the idea we were talking about yesterday about a pool of wisdom that people can plug into at any time.
Like Grant Hackett could be in that pool.
Yes.
Do you think rugby league could? I know rugby league isn't a sport here.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
Do you think rugby league could offer something? I mean,
It probably could if you had someone like King Wally Lewis or someone like that, some heavy hitter.
Just sitting around.
Just sitting around. Just to be there if you need some guidance about any issue whatsoever in your discipline.
Or Paul Gallen could come. He's
What about Gary Honey?
Well, the long jumper from many years ago.
Yes.
He would be great. He would calm a lot of nerves.
Yes.
And the nerves seems to be the thesis that Thorpe came up with, saying that Australia hasn't done very well because of the pressure.
Mm.
But sadly, Ian hasn't named people who he thought succumbed to the pressure or what to do about it.
Well, I think he means everyone. I mean, I think he means all of what we're calling now Team Australia. Team Australia have suffered from nerves.
Are you happy about the Team Australia?
No, I hate it.
Mm.
I said to Bertrand last night, I said, bugger off, John, you know, because he wanted to talk about the red boat and that sort of stuff. And I could see people, you know, glazing over and what have you. So I just told him to bugger off. There were a couple of cops nearby and I went up to one of them and I said, this bloke, see him? He wants a tattoo. So they grabbed him.
Not even, according to Crash Craddock, writing for the newspapers, that is the News Limited papers, he says, not even an 11th-hour gold medal scramble can alter the reality that Australia has some serious questions to ask about a sporting future after these games.
Yeah, definitely. There'll have to be could talk of a Royal Commission?
I think there is. If Australia rated a London Olympics as a disaster, how will it rate the games where they didn't get much more?
Mm.
I think this was supposed to be, the rebound games.
Oh, yes.
Instead of the message is that many Australia's Olympic sports have stagnated and some, like hockey, have gone backwards. Big decisions need to be made about the small sports and the basing of the two national Australian hockey sides in Perth has not delivered the rewards expected. Some states feel disconnected from their stars. That can't be right.
Is this in hockey?
Well, I suppose so. I just think it means generally.
Yeah. Well, see, the centre of excellence sort of ended up being for hockey in Western Australia because of Rick Charlesworth.
Yes.
That was the only reason. because he was the powerhouse. And why isn't Rick Charlesworth
leading a probe?
Well, why isn't he, you know, in the pool of wisdom?
Well, that's a very good question. Would Russell Mark be somebody in the pool
of wisdom? Pool of wisdom, definitely. Robert DiCostella.
Now, some small sports, such as shooting, felt that this has caused their sport to wizard. This is the Australian Sports Commission Winning Edge program, which shamelessly focused on funding on potential medal winners. Now, that hasn't worked out at all.
No, so our shooters are reduced to investing their own money into their own
guns and bullets.
Yeah.
And backyard shooting ranges.
Shooting ranges, yeah. And I had no idea it cost $80,000 to put in a shooting range. No idea.
And look, we got one gold out of that, which is better than, well, you know, pro rata. We didn't have many shooters.
No.
But I suppose one out of three came home with gold.
Yeah.
If only we could have, you know, in the individual swimming, did we get one gold medal? I mean, I know we got the relays.
Yeah,
and
we
so
did.
On.
We got the kiddie from school.
The big-footed Port Lincoln, Kyle Chalmers.
Chalmers, yes. Yeah, but that was accidental. He didn't expect to win. Nobody was more shocked than he was.
The colour, the movement, the magic, and the million. Portaloos. This is Rio. This is the Mardi Gras of medals with Roy and HG.
Yes, Roy, of course, the BMX competition gets underway, you know, over the next few days, climaxing, of course, I think, with the finals, where we do have chances of medals. I think Carol Buchanan qualified fastest in the women's side of it. And I think our name escapes me, Sam Willoughby, might have been third fastest in the blokes. Now,
so there's been a revolution going on in BMX.
There has.
In Australia. We've been
dominant for a while, but sadly I think our tilt in London came very unstuck. We just hope it's glued a bit better in Rio. The purpose-built course of, you know, which is magnificent here. Let me say that. And a word I don't like using, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. All the riders like it. And remember, of course, the event lasts about 35 seconds.
Yes.
So they've spent quite a lot of money here for two competitions, men's and women's, which in total will last 35 seconds plus a few, you know, qualifying rounds.
And chances are it'll never be used again. Isn't it?
That's the drift where I was headed.
Yeah, that's the sad truth, isn't it?
We focus today on Edsels Tramanis, the Estonian runner. He has a remarkable career because what happened to him in Rio de Janeiro's BMX bike track on Wednesday was a repeat of his Olympic debut 4 years ago. On both occasions, he did not finish his seeding ride, which sorts the field out of the ensuing cutthroat qualifiers.
Yeah.
I hope I said he was Latvian when I started. I might have said he was Estonian. He's actually Latvian.
Right.
And he had in London at Olympic Park, he had a DNF. Right. And the same result this week.
Wow.
Obviously, his nerves would be shattered. Yeah. The double DNF. Can't take that away from him, though. Mm. Tramanis at least knew from first-hand experience that his dash in Rio was not done when he flew off the first jump in the course only to thud into a dirt.
Yeah.
No sooner as he launched off the 8-meter ramp than he was down in the blink of an eye.
Right.
But the DNF doesn't spell end.
Oh, how come?
It's complicated.
Right.
In the wonderful wacky world of tattered BMX, even though he did not technically qualify, Tramanis will line up with 31 other BMXers for the quarterfinals in the competition.
Right.
Can't actually explain exactly why, but in a race between eight, Tramanis finished second, which booked his place in one of the two semis.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, it was where it ended. This is in London, where Tramanis, instead of watching the world dominating, the world dominated by his compatriot, Marius Strombergs, win back-to-back goals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unlike Tramanis, he breezed through Wednesday's seeding run without incident and was seventh fastest. And then the others fell in behind. Sam Willoughby was third fastest. And I'm blowed if I know exactly why, in this competition, you can DNF but still be in the competition.
Well, maybe it's a little bit like the boxing. Maybe it's open to interpretation. And if you do impress before you DNF with your style, you know, your
height,
all of that, then maybe the judges will view your performance kindly and say, will you come back again?
Now, wouldn't that be great in lots of other events?
Yes.
If we apply that, say, to long jump.
Yes.
You know, if you could showboat a little, wiggle a bit, jiggle a bit on the big screen, even though, as the Crash Craddock referred to, you might appear like a yellow ant out there, the cameras would catch you, and all of a sudden you've got a name for yourself.
Yes.
DNFing, but still part of the competition.
Yep. There's a lot to be said for that. Now, our Aussie tilt is looking pretty good, though.
Well, I think Carol Buchanan, the five times world champion, You know, obviously she swaps between BMX and the mountain bike.
Yeah, but no stranger to pressure.
No stranger. Yeah, look, second fast in the women's seedings.
Yeah.
Certainly we've got a couple of blokes, Bodie Turner and Sam Willoughby, still going around. And I've got to say, keep our eye on Tremanis, who, even though he's dudded, is still part of the competition.
Still a winner. Yeah. Look, what I like about our BMX riders, HG, is they've arrived late and they haven't been approached at this stage. They haven't had their views distorted or changed in any way by John Bertrand.
This is the sweetest sound. Roy and HG. It's a Mardi Gras of medals.
Yes, Roy. Well, that takes us away from the Herb Elliott Stadium for another day.
Yeah.
A tremendous day of competition here again.
Oh, it's been fantastic, hasn't
and
it?
And there's so much still to look forward
to.
You've got to play your hand right out to the end. And even when we're off air, there's going to be so much excitement over the weekend coming up as well.
I know. Look, I'm going to spend a little bit of time with the Boomers this evening around the edge. And just get them a little bit focused, tell them stories. I mean, they might want to listen, they might not. They don't have to.
You're going to get rid of your Luke Longley pin?
Because
that'll have some value.
I know. People want it. Mm. When the word gets out, you've got a Longley, you become popular.
That's it for the Mardi Gras medal. See you tomorrow for the final time from Rio, right here.
Roy and HG, thanks to Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.